Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Today, the Supreme Court issued a decision in our case protecting us from fines related to the HHS mandate. And the Supreme Court also acknowledged that the government has now admitted that they are able to pursue their goals without involving us in the provision of services that are in violation of our Catholic faith. So this is really a great day for us, and we just thank God that He has protected us throughout all of this.
That's Sister Constance Veit, Director of Vocations for the Little Sisters of the Poor, responding to today's Supreme Court decision, a unanimous decision. Is this the final verdict? Is it over, in other words? Joining us to answer that question and some others on this Monday afternoon, Hannah Smith, attorney for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C. Hannah, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
Is this the final verdict? Is it over?
Well, it's certainly a game changer, that's for sure. The Supreme Court today said that all of these bad decisions that have been accumulating in the lower courts, all of them just go away with the magic wand of the Supreme Court's order today. So all of those decisions have been vacated. That means that they no longer exist. So all of these poor decisions that basically told religious organizations that they didn't understand their own theology, they're gone. And that's a really good thing. Another consequence of the order today is that the Little Sisters are protected from being forced to pay these massive fines that the government was threatening because they wouldn't comply with the mandate. So both of those things are really positive outcomes from today's order. The court sent the cases back down to the lower courts. To continue in the lower courts. And I think these cases are going to be around for a little bit longer, but I think the Supreme Court has basically said, you guys need to work this out now based on what you've told us in our supplemental briefings before the court. You've articulated a way that we can move forward on this and we can find common ground. And so you need to go work that out in the lower courts. So I think our resolution is very soon.
What was at stake in this long legal battle?
Well, what's really at stake is whether or not religious people in America are going to be forced to violate their conscience, whether they're going to be forced by their own government to violate their religious faith under the penalty of massive fines. And that's what all of these religious organizations and individuals that have been suing over the mandate have been telling the government for the last 4 years. You can't tell us that we have to violate our faith in the provision of these drugs and devices that are explicitly against our religious faith. You can't do that, government, and you certainly can't do it by threatening to fine us in the $70 million if we don't. So that was really what was at stake, and the Supreme Court today said, government, you can't impose those kinds of fines on the Little Sisters.
Give us a brief history, if you would, of how this came about and how it proceeded up to this point.
Back in when the Affordable Care Act was passed, the Congress inserted into the language of the Affordable Care Act a requirement for preventive services, but it didn't define what preventive services meant. And so it left that up to the Department of Health and Human Services. And HHS came up with a group of outside experts who came up with this list that included contraceptive services. And among those contraceptive services were some drugs like Plan B and Ella, the morning after and the week after pill, that are abortifacients to some religious people. And so that list of contraceptive services then became a required element of all employers' health plans. Under the Affordable Care Act, unless you had an exemption. And the government was happy to give exemptions to large corporations like Exxon, Pepsi, Visa, that didn't change their plan after a certain date and were grandfathered in. So they weren't even They didn't even have to comply with the mandate. But they weren't willing to give an exemption to the Little Sisters of the Poor, which was really an unfortunate position that the government took. But it's been litigating these cases over the last 4 years, insisting that there's no other way that it can get these drugs and devices to the women that it wants to get them to without using the Little Sisters health plan. And quite frankly, the Supreme Court proved the government wrong, because at the Supreme Court, the government was forced to concede that, yes, there is a way we can get these drugs and devices to women without using the Little Sisters health plan. And that was really a key concession that was made at the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court accepted that concession and now has thrown these cases back down to the lower courts based on that concession to say, look, you guys need to work this out in a different way that doesn't use the Little Sisters health plan.
What does it tell you that this was not just a decision, but a unanimous decision on the part of the court, presently comprised, obviously, one seat is missing?
Well, it tells me this is a really important case. It tells me it was a case that the court really wanted to show unanimity on, and it's a case that the court wanted to highlight. We stand together in telling the government, you must accommodate these religious objectors' beliefs. And that was the significance of the unanimity. The per curiam opinion is used by the court when it wants to show that the court is united behind its decision. It doesn't put a specific name of the justice who wrote the opinion on it, like all of the other opinions do, but rather it says per curiam, which means opinion of the court. And so by doing that, it really puts the whole weight of the court behind this decision. And it was important today to have the whole weight of the court behind this decision, because this is an important case that dealt with significant constitutional rights. And the whole court said, you must accommodate these religious objectors. Now go back and figure it out in the lower courts.
So do the Little Sisters of the Poor and some other organizations that are included here, do they essentially function then in terms of the law as stand-ins for all religious organizations? In other words, they were targeted in some ways because they weren't a church, so to speak. They were, we could argue, a parachurch organization. Has that definition been made now by the court's decision to say, look, we're not just talking about churches per se. We're now talking about even other kind of related religious organizations. Has that been defined here?
Right. So the government did provide an exemption for churches and the integrated auxiliaries. But the Little Sisters are not a church. They're a religious organization. And so all of these plaintiffs that are in these religious nonprofit ministry cases are, in similar situations to the Little Sisters, religious organizations that are not covered by that church exemption. And so those entities are now the larger group of litigants that are going to be affected by this most recent order of the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court has said to the government now, look, you've conceded. You can do this in another way that's not as impactful on the religious exercise of these organizations. So you've got to do it now, since you've conceded that you can.
Why do you think the government did this? This can't have been, it cannot have been, you know, good for public relations, so to speak. You've got a bunch of nuns standing on the steps at the Supreme Court month after month. Why do you think they pursued this so vociferously against the Little Sisters?
Yeah, that's a really great question, and I've asked myself that question many times during the last 4 years. I mean, at one point in their brief, the government even was so brazen as to say that the Little Sisters were fighting, quote-unquote, invisible dragons. So they've really been quite heated in their rhetoric on this case. And, you know, it's a puzzling question to me why the government has pursued the Little Sisters with the intensity that they have. But I think it really has backfired on them because so many people realize the importance of what the Little Sisters do and what other organizations like them do around the country. And there's, you know, been recent polls taken in the past month or so that show that, you know, majority of Americans believe that the government has been unfair and it has treated these organizations unfairly by imposing this mandate on them. So I think Americans get it. They understand that this is a fight that the government didn't need to pick with the Little Sisters of the Poor and with these other organizations. And I think they're understanding now the consequences of picking that fight.
Does this decision, at least as long as the court is comprised the way it is, does it signal the future of how religious liberty will fare with this court? About a minute here, Hannah.
Well, you know, I think we're going to see some changes soon with the election and perhaps another justice being confirmed to the Supreme Court. And so, you know, it's a little up in the air right now what the future composition of the court is going to look like. But we certainly hope that whoever it is that is confirmed is someone who can, you know, agree that religious liberty needs to be protected in our country. And we've had several victories at the Supreme Court over the last 3 or 4 years that have been unanimous. Our first victory was the Hosanna Tabor case. Our Holt v. Hobbs case was a unanimous decision. So it is possible to have unanimity on the court. And it's possible that the future justice will be able to see that religious liberty for all is an important part of our constitutional structure.
Hannah Smith is an attorney for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C. You can find out more about the Beckett Fund and find a link to them at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Hannah, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Coming up tonight at 8 Central on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio, you can hear Bach's Cantata 68, God Has So Loved the World, a cantata appointed for the second day of Pentecost. It's brought to you in part by the Substitute Organist Service. This is a program that plays your church's instrument, your church's pipe organ, through an iPad. It is not canned music. It's not recorded music. It actually inputs that are put in by a professional organist, and it comes out of your organ when your organist is on vacation or sick or you simply don't have one. Find out more at churchmusicsolutions.com. That's Bach's Cantata, God Has So Loved the World, tonight at 8 Central, 9 Eastern, 7 Mountain, and 6 Pacific at LutheranPublicRadio.org and on the LPR mobile app. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we will be broadcasting from the Gottesdienst Conference at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. We're going to be talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about ecclesiastical order. And we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, a rare live interview with Pastor David Peterson. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Religious liberty is one of the primary liberties granted us in our Constitution. It's one of the first. That's because it was recognized to be one of the most important. We continue to pray that God would preserve it for us and among us. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.